Welcome to another Storage Unpacked podcast. I'm Martin Glassborough, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, Chris Evans and Chris Meller. Evening, folks.
Evening, Martin.
Hi, Martin.
Today, we're going to be discussing the subject of all-flash market rationalisation. Yes. Anyway, last week, we saw Violin Memory, one of the pioneers of the all-flash market, being delisted from the New York Stock Exchange and joining the OTC market. Time's been pretty tough for Violin. The company has seen their market cap drop to just over $6 million, and sales continue to decline. We've already seen Fusion.io swallowed up by SanDisk back in 2014, although SanDisk themselves were later swallowed up by Western Digital. So, guys, are we seeing the start of a major consolidation? We've been predicting this for a long time. What do you think?
Okay. Violin's problems have accelerated recently. Quite catastrophically in terms of market capitalization. It's all to do with the share price drop. In February, the market capitalization was $76.5 million. In early May, $31.3 million. So it lost over half its value. Then in September, $20.24 million. And on October 24th, $8.85 million. It had a threat from the New York Stock Exchange to get delisted in January because its share price had fallen below a dollar for longer than 30 days, and it coped with that by doing a reverse stock split. So four shares that were worth a dollar before now became a single share worth $4. But the share price fall continued, and it got another delisting threat letter very recently. In fact, the company fell foul of another NYE Stock Exchange regulation, which was the markup has to be above $15 million for an average of 30 days. It was below that. So late last week, NYSE decided to just halt trading in the shares and move to immediately delist the company. It's now moved to the over-the-counter market, OTC QX market. Opening share price there was $0.25 with a market capitalization of just over $6 million. So it's got its irons out of the fire, but it's in a really dire situation.
So I'm guessing there's no restriction on that market for them in terms of market cap or share price. They can keep on going further down?
As far as they can continue to file regulatory material with the SEC, then broadly speaking, that's fine. They have to be a reputable company, and they are. Mm-hmm. So they're okay for the time being.
But they're definitely heading to the stage where they become a penny share.
Yes, Martin. Yes.
And I saw somebody come in today and say it's getting to the point where actually you could buy the company rather than buying a product, because buying the company would be nearly as cheap as buying the products from them.
I don't want to say this, but I can't see why anybody would want to buy the company at the moment. It seems to me it's like Exonet, an old Israeli file software company, which Dell didn't buy until it crashed and burned, and then it bought the assets in a fire sale. I can't see anybody buying Violin at the moment, because the likelihood is its value is going to fall.
So there are quite a few market players, I think, Martin, aren't there in this instance?
There's a lot. I think that's been the problem. The market's very crowded. Obviously, there's a lot of startups, and now we've got the traditional vendors also piling into market. So if you go back, we've got people like HDS who now have their own products. Dell EMC, well, they've got a whole raft of flash products, from all-flash VMAX, Extreme.io, DSSD. Also, obviously, you've got the all-flash Unity and probably other stuff as well. Some of the Dell products themselves may come into that space as well. IBM, obviously, they bought TMS back in the day. They've had V9000, but I've seen there's a end of life on that now. There's A9000, and then there is their XIV flash variant. I can't remember the name of it. Can anybody remember? Yeah,
there's a 900, isn't there? There's a 900, which is a smaller one, which is like a shelf and two controllers. And then there's the bigger one for the whole rack, which is is that the A9000R, perhaps?
Something like that, yeah, that's it. Yeah, the V9000, I've seen a end of service life, I think, or an end of a marketing life anyway.
IBM have also got thrown a butt in there, a DS88000 all-flash high-end array.
Yeah, but who's really worried about DS88000 at the moment? It's a mainframe product, really, isn't it? NetApp obviously have all-flash FAS, E-Series, which is the old LSI Ingenio stuff, and obviously the latest acquisition, SolidFire. So variety of architectures there. HPE, 3PAR, all flash, and Oracle with their FS1. So those are the big boys with their all flash variants of mostly existing products. And then obviously we get all the new startups, Pure Storage, now with block and file, Nimble, all flash variants, Nimbus, Caminario, Tintree, Tegile, XIO, obviously not a startup, been around for a long time. And there's probably a lot more. There's the high performance vendors, E8, Magstore. So
we could
very crowded.
Aperion and Accelero at the high end, and there's SanDisk and IntelliFlash with Nexenta and Tegile and others adding software to provide a viable product.
Yeah.
It's a lot of companies.
So really, if you look across there, you've got a real, from what was, say, 4 or 5 years ago, where we didn't see much competition in all flash, we've seen a rapid, rapid change in that market.
Yeah, massively so. And I think what we've seen with so many startups, because it's easier to build an array out of commodity, and we've got the big boys who decided their interim is to fill their existing products full of flash and do some tweaking around the architectures, but probably not as much as people expect. And I think the early movers, Wilin and Fusion, have been really caught out on this.
I think that's happened a second time around as well, because Pure, Caminario, Whiptail and others jumped in a few years ago. But the main vendors, the incumbents, Dell, EMC, IBM and so forth, jumped very, very quickly to retrofit flash to their existing arrays, leaving less and less of a market space for these incumbents to go in, for the new boys to go into. And then the three hybrid startups, the big ones, Nimble, Tintree, and Tegile, they all moved into all flash as well. So suddenly the pressure is on all flash array startups to actually try and come out of this mincer they're in. And Pure Storage seems to be the only one of the startups that's actually come out of it. Nimble's done an IPO, still got to prove itself, but the others, there's question marks over all of them, I think.
Well, I thought it was interesting that SolidFire didn't make it to IPO and actually got themselves bought before. So,
and that was probably a good exit for them, really, in some respects, because continuing to fight in this market could have been really, really tough for them.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, then they got access to the NetApp marketing machine, which I think was a good thing for them. I think that's one thing you can say about Pure. They've executed their marketing extremely well.
I'd agree with that. I think their business model, the upgrade schemes they have, and their ability to market the product and the development to go into the secondary array market with the new one, is brilliant. I can't see another big exit coming amongst the startups now. I think SolidFire was possibly the last one.
Yeah, so the FlashBlade was the other product you're thinking of, Chris, there. And yeah, you're right, that was an interesting move to come up with a second product. There are rumours that there's a third product in development. We'll find out perhaps next year what that might happen to be. They wouldn't confirm or deny it, but the looks we got when we were there last time for the Accelerate Day, they were giving us looks that said there's probably something else coming along.
I think that the market evolution has moved very quickly. You had to have a fast array that was faster than disk before, but that soon wasn't enough. You had to have features, price came into it, and then data services got added to on top. And the incumbent vendors have all got their act together in that area very, very well. Pure obviously has done its act together well. The others, Nimble leading them, still got a lot of work to do. And I think there's a new development round coming around of technology, which is the NVMe of fabrics on one hand and data services on the other. I think we're going to move from GUI interfaces to chatbot type interfaces with file services added on top. And container storage is probably a good bet. So these things look like opportunities for me. But vendors who haven't got access to a large amount of funds won't be able to afford the development to do them all.
So today, how big do we really think the market is? I mean, we've looked at external array sales over the past couple of years. They seem to be falling as a proportion of the market. And we're very crowded. And then you talk about container, NVMe over fabric. But we've also got companies like Nutanix with their hardware clients, hyperconvergence, and also the whole SDS trend. Even VMware with vSAN can begin to impact the all-flash market simply on the grounds that you're basically building your own. If you want to stack a vSAN full of all-flash, you can do.
So I did some a little bit of work on this, Martin, a little while ago, and I think the article was reprinted in the Register too. And that was to look at the traditional analysts' numbers and see if we could see some sort of evidence within there as to where things were going. Now, we'll put the link up in the show notes, but I did notice that we see that a lot of the analysts report two figures. They report storage, as in servers and disk, and then they report external storage arrays. The external arrays are definitely dropping in terms of revenue. The server and disk increases slightly, but not much. So you could look at it and think perhaps it's a bit of a stagnant market, and it's a market that potentially more and more vendors are trying to take a slice out of. And they're basically trying to take a slice out of each other. And then, as you said, people like Nutanix, VMware with vSAN are coming to try and take a slice out of them as well.
I'm seeing a similarity in some ways to the tape market, where when the tape market started declining, vendors took two tacks. One was to diversify out of it and look for adjacent markets like Quantum with StorNext and the whole media workload business. And the other one, led by HP primarily, was to take share from other vendors in a declining market. So if our all-flash array market is like that, in that it itself is taking share from a disk array market, which is declining, but it's facing threats from hyper-converged infrastructure players, Nutanix, vSAN people, and stuff like that, and also with secondary data going off to the public cloud, then the all-flash array vendors have to start taking share from each other. And there are too many of them to sustain that.
Yep, and there's one other thing I didn't account for in that little piece I just said there, but I did actually put in the blog post, and that's the figures that we see from IDC and co. They talk about hardware, basically. They talk about servers and storage, and they talk about external arrays. But none of them really talk about SDS. So there's not any talk about who's selling licenses for object stores and any type of storage software. And that must have an impact, too, that people are going off and spending money there, as well as buying the hardware, but they're spending money at that side of the house as well.
I don't think we really know quite how large the SDS market is yet. You're right, the IDC aren't breaking out those figures yet. That will be very interesting to see, because obviously the storage market is still growing. There's still more and more storage being deployed. We talk about public cloud, but obviously there's still large private cloud deployments of object storage. But we just don't have a real visibility of how large some of these are. And then if we start talking about open source solutions, we won't have the visibility. You just won't know. So the Ceph, the clusters, because people aren't paying license fees.
Yep. So the traditional market is shrinking. There's more competition, and all the vendors are fighting with each other because they have to basically take share off each other potentially.
Okay. Let's try and give our own version of a Gartner Magic Quadrant for the all-flash array market, and try and stick some vendors into the four categories: the leaders, the challengers, the niche players, and the visionaries. And this is just a perception thing. It's not based on actual numbers or anything. So I'd say the leaders, Dell EMC, HPE, Pure, and NetApp. The challengers, HDS, IBM, Nimble, Oracle, Tegile, Tintri. The niche players, Caminario, Nimbus, Violin, Xio. The visionaries, Apeiron, E8, Accelero, Mangstore, DSSD, basically the NVMe over Fabric startup. I'd say the niche players are most under threat, but my bet is that it'll be consolidation by the vendors fading away rather than by anybody actually buying them.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think that's what we're going to see. The consolidation we see may be consolidation just by failure as opposed to acquisition. It's a long time since we've seen something like that happen. We might see the odd IPO or the odd IP fire sale as we did in the past, but I'm not sure there's going to be that many people who are buying companies to get access to the customers. I would be interested to know how big some of the customer bases are for some of these companies.
You've just raised a really interesting point, and that's, imagine I'm a customer sitting at the other end of this now, listening to what we've just said for the last 15 minutes. I might have been buying from some of these companies. I might have bought from them and have boxes on the floor. I might now be starting to get a bit nervous that my particular acquisition probably was potentially a bad one, or might be a bad one in the next 12 months. What do we think? Is that, do you think there's likely to happen that customers are going to turn around and actually look at it and say, I'm, you know, I might get off this kit because I think it might be risky?
That's a very hard question to answer. The simple answer probably is yes, some will. And I don't think it's because of anything we're saying. I think we're looking at what's happening in the market, what's happening around suppliers, and pointing fingers and saying this is happening with them and that's happening with them. When people are worried, people are pleased, people are what doing whatever people do.
I would imagine that they are probably listening to what we're saying, certainly what you write, Chris, because clearly you have such a wide audience with the post you write in the Register. So I'd imagine that indirectly some of the things that you've posted recently about the way the market has gone is definitely going to be, you know, make people think about what the way that, you know, the market's going and what they should and shouldn't be doing.
Well, then let me say that from my point of view, both Caminaro and Violin both have excellent technology. Their arrays perform well, they're reliable, they're interesting technology, and they both have roadmaps. So I wouldn't dismiss them out of hand at all. Violin has its problems. Hopefully they'll be able to get some more funding and carry on. XIO, possibly looking for a sale or a partnership there, I'm not sure.
So that's another angle, I guess. You just raised another great point, and that's, it's not all about the technology.
It's never been about the technology, Chris.
I've been slightly controversial and slightly deliberately awkward there. But it's true, though, if you look at it, the fact that it could be very easy, for instance, to say Pure Storage is a dual controller flash box with traditional drives in it. Why is that? How is that anything special compared to, you know, what Caminaro were doing, for instance, with Scale Out and Scale Up? Mm-hmm. So there's a huge marketing perception that perhaps has allowed the big guys to market to their existing customers, and people like Pure to get market share because they took on so much funding and went out and did a huge, very, very successful marketing campaign. And actually, the reason we've ended up where we are is maybe people like Violin and others haven't marketed as well. Maybe they're not as good at it, or maybe they didn't have the funds to be able to do it.
That's quite possible, I think, to be honest. I mean, I think that's what we've found ourselves in. I mean, Violin's marketing was very niche orientated, really went out of performance for a long time and didn't actually position themselves in the general purpose space. Pure positioned themselves thermally in the general purpose space. They went after EMC a bit. I'm not convinced that was the best tactic, but it seems to have worked for them. But Pure is another dual head array. It's not, from my point of view, architecturally, it doesn't seem to be revolutionary in any shape or form. But some of their marketing and some of the instruments they're using, like the Flash Forever or Flash Forward, whatever they're calling it, these are clever ideas and they get attention.
And Nimble has marketed its predictive analytics, its InfoSight, very, very well indeed, with lots of other people following in its footsteps, retrofitting analytics to their own arrays. I think Nimble is in a nice position at the moment.
Yeah, you're right. They've done a good job by setting that market and making it a standard for others to follow, I think. Where do we think we're going to go from here? We think we've got some people, Chris, that you think are probably at risk based on what you've just said. Do we think we'll see something happening in the next 6 months, 12 months, 24 months?
I'd go for 24 months.
I would say in the next 24 months. I think we might see some surprises as well. I could see Pure being swallowed up on the grounds that I'm not sure anybody really wants another NetApp. So I think some of the big boys may look at this, and if Pure continue to grow and do well, somebody may come in and say, hang on, I'm not having this. We've got enough competition in the market already. Maybe it's time we take them out and acquire them.
Possibly Cisco could think that the bruise and inflammation have now gone down from its whiptail debacle purchase, and it could actually see something in a standalone all-flash array market as well as the HyperFlex hyperconverged market, and think Pure will be the masterful way to get into the all-flash array market.
That's not a bad call. I've thought about it for a while, that Cisco may want to acquire somebody. It'd be interesting to see how the Dell EMC thing goes and how far both Cisco and Dell drift apart from each other.
So then we've given ourselves some markers to watch at that point, have we? So we've got some things we can watch that might give us some indications, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. And obviously, Dell's relationship with Nutanix and things like that may mean that Cisco are one of the people who want to come in. We have forgotten people like Huawei or Huawei, however you pronounce it. They could come in at some point. We keep thinking that the Chinese are going to turn up and do something. They haven't yet, but they could well do.
And Lenovo. Lenovo tend, though, to do partnership rather than purchase, at least in the storage area.
Well, we've not seen... I think there's been speculation for some time that Lenovo may at some point decide to come in and buy the IBM x86 storage business. They bought the server business. Why not pick up the x86 business?
Well, I shrink from the suggestion because I think the IBM storage business is... It's like looking at a market where none of the stores have anything to do with each other. That's over-exaggerating a little bit, I think. But Huawei tend not to buy people either. They tend to really be keen on developing in-house. Whether they can sell an all-flash array into the US market is a moot point, but I'm sure they'd be able to sell well elsewhere.
I'm just trying to think of a shop that has things on the shelf that are all very different. The only thing I can think of that would be like that would be a charity shop.
Yes, Oxfam.
Or Poundland.
Or Poundland. Yeah, I don't think IBM would be massively happy about us describing their portfolio as the selection from Poundland.
IBM has got itself a new storage boss, Ed Walsh, came in from CA or somebody like that. So he must have been taken on to do something, rather than to look after a declining asset and make sure it declines nicely.
So didn't Ed Walsh used to work for, was he one of the CDM companies or something like that? And he wasn't he at IBM and left and then came back?
He was a StoreWise guy. So he got acquired by IBM and then left, and now he's come back again.
Yeah, so there's still a possibility of something going to happen there.
I'm sure there's a possibility something's going to happen there, even though IBM is going full tilt into the Bluemix soft layer cloud object storage area.
I think there's some interesting things. The VM-specific storage, the Tintries of the world, very interesting to see how they carry on with, obviously, VMware pushing vSAN very heavily.
Well, I guess the question there is, you know, is the market going to change? And this is possibly a great story for another day, but is the market going to change specifically and not focus on VMs as much? Are we going to see a migration to a hybrid environment? Are we going to see containers come in big time? And will the dominance of the VM change? And if that changes, then perhaps those VM specialists may find they have a bit of a problem.
Oh, they could do. And then you have that vSAN announced in the latest release that they support iSCSI LUNs going out to external hardware. You're almost building yourself an array out of your VMware cluster, which you can service other machines. I'm not sure how good and how stable this is going to be, but it's a move along those lines.
It's going to be interesting to see how pure hyperconverged systems can be and whether we'll start to see them separated into semi-hyperconverged systems with compute on one side and storage on the other, or even have a group of hyperconverged systems sharing a central storage array. Anything's possible.
Well, I guess what that says is that actually the idea of hyperconverged as an entire solution to serve all your needs probably doesn't exist. The fact that you want to actually support external connectivity to other servers tells you that it doesn't suit all of your needs.
I think we've known that for some time. I think we've known that hyperconverged or virtualization isn't the end answer to all the questions. We've known this. We just look at the history. I mean, people have mainframes in their environments. So you don't clear out everything. There are some things which hang around for a long time. Bare metal may come back.
There are two other interesting technologies I see in the all-flash array market at the moment. One is flash DIMMs, whether we'll see storage arrays even using flash DIMMs or servers taking them on board in a big way. And the other is quad-level cell flash. Toshiba can actually make the darn stuff, 4 bits per cell. That ought to be good for tertiary data storage, backups perhaps, data domain all-flash systems. Well,
so, folks, you're probably as confused as we are. We know there's going to be market consolidation. We're not sure who and when. We're not even sure what it looks like. We agree that Violin themselves may actually be in trouble. And there's a lot of other technologies to keep us busy in the interim. So join us again for another Storage Unpacked podcast and hopefully we shall have some more clarity on the situation.